are now listening to No Dumb Idea.
Welcome back to No Dumb Idea. You know,
we gotta, we're gonna make it to regionals. We need more practice.
All right,
regionals.
Oh, One, two, three, go.
We're going Broadway.
Ooh, true.
Yeah.
Okay.
Going Broadway.
Skipping the show choir circuit. We're going straight to the big stage.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I want to earn some Tony Awards. You know,
mm-hmm.
at least three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some Tony.
I'll settle for five. Yeah.
That way, later on, you can get the EGOT. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think three Tonys equals one Oscar, so, yeah.
Which I still feel like should just be, like, rearranged into an actual word, but...
EGOT.
Whatever.
You know,
yeah,
these,
you know.
All these award names have, you know, just such man names, you know? When's it going to be time that we get a lady award name, you know? Like a...
I got a Susan Award.
I got the
yeah,
Jessica.
It's always Tony, Oscar, yeah. Why can't I win a Margaret?
Yeah,
like it's all man names.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Hi guys,
yeah.
Welcome back to No Dumb Idea, where we ask the tough questions. Mm-hmm. We're also a pop culture podcast that uses trivia, game shows, you know, and just stupid discussions to express their ideas. And there are no limits to how dumb these ideas can be.
Yep.
I'm your host, Gibbledang.
Form of expression. I'm Dala.
And I'm gym leader Nate.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Cool. All
the
right.
Dumbest
That's
stuff
it, everybody.
Yeah.
And that was no dumb idea. Anyways.
But yeah,
that's just next week when we do our outro.
Ooh, yeah. God, and then we need to figure out what to do in between.
Yeah, we'll figure that one day.
Yeah, that'll be
one later. One day we'll figure out what we're doing in between the intro and outro. Certainly not today.
Speaking of, how have you guys this week been?
Been pretty good. I don't know. I've been sleepy this week. I feel like this whole week I've just been exhausted.
Nice.
And then just constantly wanting to play Magic. I've built two new decks I haven't tested out yet. So it's like it's all I can think about.
Have you ever had a dream you were playing Magic?
If I still dreamed that drumped,
yeah.
If I still had been drumpting, then possibly, but typically I don't dream much, so I don't.
Yeah.
I'd like to believe that Magic's in my dreams, because it's in my waking nightmares. So
don't we all?
Yeah, fair.
But yeah, other than that, just honestly, just been doing that and also trying to, like, slowly come up with more ideas. I'm trying to cook up a little tabletop variant that uses Magic cards to do a campaign.
Ooh.
Oh.
So, yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I'm still in the early design phases. It's a hard concept to come up with, but now I'm starting to circle in on what it's going to look like. And it's going to be like, there's like a format called Arch Enemy in Magic the Gathering, where it's four people playing, like you're at a commander pod, but instead of four people all playing against each other, it's one person versus versus three other people all teaming up on them. And then the person who is the Arch Enemy has like a bigger deck, and they have a scheme that's always in play, and the scheme gives them special stuff, and then they can like complete schemes and move on to the next scheme so that they can like constantly get special effects to help them deal with fighting three people at once. And then the three people have to try and overcome them having the power of their schemes.
Yeah.
So cool. in this version, it'll turn into a tabletop where the archenemy is just the DM, and the cards that he's playing is the encounter that you're facing, and your characters are having to play to beat against the encounter.
Yeah. That's cool. I mean, yeah, let's say I love asymmetrical like gameplay, and like especially when you can get it like fun and working.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see if that'll play, because I'm also having to like try and figure out how to make ways for the cards to work outside of combat. Because there's
like a million cards.
There's the rest of tabletop storytelling and role playing games to consider other than combat, and it's like, oh man, this is a hard one. But
I'd love if we play it and it's like it's just literally D&D, but then every now and then you're at a pub and you could play MTG in the game of D&D.
that's Warcraft.
Yeah, basically it's just like one of those fucking RP world MMO RPGs or something. Like Gwent,
yeah, like fucking Witcher with Gwent. What's the name? Gwent. Yeah. I played the release version of Gwent when they made it into its own game.
How is it?
And it's okay. I think the problem with Gwent is that fundamentally it is like uninteresting lore wise because you're like playing with like creatures all the time, and the creatures don't necessarily fight. You're just kind of like placing cards and then like comparing values, but it's not like there's no like attacking, they're defending or things like that. It's like static. Yeah, it's really static and weird how you win, and I just think it's not dynamic enough.
So,
to
interject, speaking of Pokemon, did you guys hear about the Game Freak leak?
Oh, yeah.
That happened today?
What is it? Today? Yeah. Oh, no, I didn't hear about that.
Yesterday, somebody hacked Game Freak and scraped a bunch of their files off before they got caught. A terabyte of it. So we're getting, like, we have a bunch of new beta sprites, we have a bunch of new design arts, we have their documents that explain how their lore works, we have, like, how, like, which Pokemon are gods of what officially, and, like, how, like, the structure of their universe works.
Yeah,
it's like that's insane.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We have like and now they also got their hands on all of the coding and framework for Gen 5 Black and White. So literally like all the code they use to make the games has been leaked now. And so basically the last time this happened was people gaining access to the Pokemon Emerald code. And because of that, years later, now we have 1,000 different tools for people to make mods and ROMs for Pokemon Emerald. So now what this means is that in a couple of years' time, we're most likely going to have a ton of new tools and stuff for people to make their own ROMs of Black and White really easily.
That's cool, because I do remember seeing like a lot of like mods and just ROMs of fucking like Emerald stuff. Like there's the one where all the Pokemon are like girls or whatever, like women or whatever.
Yeah, there's the silly ones.
But
like basically like when the actual code got leaked for the third generation, it went from you're playing Pokemon Emerald but the sprites are switched for something else to I can now make a program that allows me to just use the tile assets from Pokemon Emerald to make a new world, and I can just use their tile assets and just make an entirely new RPG out of it, like something along those lines. You basically don't have any limiters anymore. You can truly do anything.
Just anything.
As long as somebody can come up with the applicator for it. And it's like, that's where we're at with Black and White, is there's a lot of like hacks out there that are close to it or that are like edited versions, but the better tools will always come with the full code. It's exciting.
Yeah, shit. I did not hear about it. I mean, that happened yesterday, though, so I guess, yeah.
Yeah, literally yesterday, yeah.
It also showed that the Switch 2 is going to be called the Ounce, I think.
The Ounce?
I believe like it's being... Either that's the code name?
I think it's the code name. That's gotta be they're going to call it the Ounce.
That's
the,
a weird
the
one.
Ounce.
Like O-U-N-C-E.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ounce. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Maybe it weighs an ounce, or it's like, that's how big it is.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. What else? Small. Yeah, Gen 10 is going to be out next year, which is crazy.
Oh yeah, Gen 10 is, they've confirmed, is going to be being made and delayed for the new Switch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, if the Switch is coming out,
as the Switch is getting pushed back, the new Pokemon generation is going to continue to be pushed back as well.
Totally. But I'm more excited for the design stuff and all the beta Pokemon and
oh my god!
So, are there pictures of them?
Yeah, there's a ton. Beta Swalot looks so funny. Like, oh my god!
Where's beta the Sigma Tropius ones? Are there any Sigma ones?
That's Sigma? Good. Sigma sprites?
Yeah, because I'm tired of these betas. I want some Sigma.
No, Pokemon. Sigmas are too cool to get leaked. Too busy on that grind set.
Yeah, too Chad. What a bit. Gen 10 or 11?
I believe I was just on Reddit for it.
Nothing for Gen 10 yet.
Yeah, no info.
I think the leakers, like, a little scared for that one.
Oh, what are the beta? They're from... The beta forms are like they're old, like for the older gens. Oh, okay. Is that where that fucking like third form for Raichu Pikachu was like from? The like
Gorochu?
Oh yeah.
Gorochu.
Yeah, that was a different leaked. Yeah, that was a different leaked beta art, yeah.
Oh, this is cute. That was like a balloon.
That was like the first time around when it happened.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah, there's a fucking shark with like a spear. I don't know if the, I mean
that's like original Sharpedo. That's pretty interesting.
Okay, I was gotcha. Yeah, I was just
looks sort of like an anchor almost.
Yeah, but I love his smile or like I guess frown really, but
yeah,
big ass teeth.
Anywho,
yeah,
that is. I forgot. I didn't even think to talk about that, but yeah,
getting so back true. Into that. But yeah, that's sick. I didn't mean to.
Oh, no, you're good. These are cool. I need to check interject. Them out.
It's interesting. Yeah, it sucks how that happens, though. A lot of employees got their data stolen, too.
Yeah, personal data got stolen as well.
And, like, I do get the idea of, you know, I get wanting to see everything early and wanting to see everything leaked, but it will probably cost a lot of people a lot of, like, jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But still, yeah, I want to see everything.
It also... Also slows them down because then they need to like, you know, improve their security. Probably like figure out what's if anything's been damaged, stolen. You know,
I'm hoping that they don't decide. They don't decide to just like wipe certain projects clean. You know what I mean?
I doubt it though. It's Pokemon. I feel like it'll be fine.
Yeah, true.
Like as far as Pokemon, like the next gen, I'm sure it'll be fine. They're not gonna stop that. But if there's any maybe smaller projects, maybe I guess. I don't know if there's anything else I can jump into my week. Okay. Yeah, I'll just jump into my week real quick. So it's been pretty... It's mostly, honestly, just been me playing Silent Hill 2, the remake. Which, so far, is pretty dang good. It's, yeah, I mean, it's pretty much what, like, the Resident Evil 2 remake did for RE2, but for Silent Hill. I will say, I think... like based on my memory from playing like the old Silent Hill 2, like just old ones, I will say I think this one's gonna be easier and like not as scary. Not to say it's not scary, but just because the whole controls and camera angle really, with that liberty, you get a lot more freedom and a lot less like liberty. I remember in the old one,
I hear,
yeah, dude, hell American yeah. Boy, dude,
okay,
Silent Hill's all American, located in Wisconsin. Just kidding. I think Pennsylvania, if anything. Yeah, dude. What was I saying? Yeah,
shout out to Wisconsin.
It's a good read. It's like modern controls, camera angles. I think like in the old year games, I remember I'd run into an enemy and like shit myself, like trying to figure out if I fight it or not. Where this one, I'm like, I could take anything on. Like, you know, you can. It's just so far. I mean, I'm not too far in where I'm getting ganged up on, but solid. I'd recommend you need something spooky. It will spook you out.
It's gonna spook you out.
Yeah.
Spook you out. Sorry. this sounds like a Halloween themed rap that I would see on TV.
Oh, yeah. It's Jim Leader Nate and the Funky Bunch.
Spook out.
Boop doop boop boo.
Ooh,
you got
go.
Spooked. Thanks. And you got your duped. Don't be duped because you're not a
don't get duped and you won't get spooked.
Just the same words over and over.
Don't be a fruit loop because you gotta get scooped in it.
I do love a rap though where it's like the same word is rhymed with the same word. It's like it rhymed the word with itself. It's always fun. But yeah, Silent Hill 2, great. Highly recommend so far. Hopefully Konami does the releases more of them, more Silent Hill games that are good. I know there's like two more I think in the works currently that are like their own thing. So hopefully those are good.
What is it? I don't know. Silent Hill J or F or something?
I think J, yeah. It's like there's Silent one that's Hill like
Jizz? What?
Yeah, Jizz.
Jizz-um.
Yeah. Well, it's got the Star Wars.
I'll play this one. You know, I might finally pick up a Silent Hill game.
Yeah. Yeah, instead of the siren making the world change, it's like and then like rust and shit about. Forms.
I gotta tell ya, with all this woke nonsense, them taking away the word jizz from Star Wars
was
truly
biggest,
a tragedy.
Yeah.
Literally just, you know, they're robbing me of my culture. Anyway,
yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. No, you're good.
The woke and their woke agenda.
I miss dude. The jizz whalers.
The wokest. Yeah, dude. I used to be a jizz whaler, but I guess not anymore, according to the woke agenda.
Right? Same.
Yeah. But yeah, no, and there's the only thing that was just kind of like,
now you're just a sperm whaler, right?
Yeah, unfortunately.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, that's what like. Also to clarify, it was whalers as in whaling on an instrument.
No, yeah, yeah. No. That's why I'm
now I'm just an actual whaler and I hunt real whales for sport. This is what they've done to me.
Yeah, this is what I have to do now.
Look at what I've become.
What the woke
Biden.
What the woke media has turned me into.
Thanks, Biden.
This is what Star Wars has turned me into.
Oh shit! I love that. Having to change professions for that. But no, I was gonna say the only other thing of note is I almost fucking got a second dog that I fucking found like a stray like right outside my building. It was cute, but.
A little pupper? A little doggo?
Yeah, I got. I almost booped her snoot, and I was like, oh my gosh.
You were almost her human?
Can I has puppy? I said to puppy.
To no one.
and the dog was all like, oh, tanks, human.
Human, yeah. But no, yeah, it's funny. I picked her up like on the way out. And I was like, fuck, I got work. I gotta go. So I just, like, had to, like, stick her in my bathroom so my other dog doesn't get to her. Because I'm like, I gotta go. And, like, all the shelters don't open until, like, after, like, or, like, middle of the day of the work day. So after work, took her into the animal shelter.
You said you walked in on her in the bathroom and she was taking a dump holding a newspaper, right?
She kind of did, honestly. I was like...
Yeah, sitting up on the toilet like a person, yeah.
You ever see the movie Bruce Almighty? It was that scene.
Oh, yeah.
Just pretty much.
Good.
Mm-hmm. No, I've only seen
that. If your dog ain't using the toilet, you ain't training it right.
Yeah. I mean, dogs are fully trainable. Honestly, that you could probably train a dog to use a toilet. You just, it would be a little much.
Yeah,
but...
if you had a good enough attachment for them to be able to climb up there easily.
Yeah, that
you could train a cat to do it. I've seen it.
Yeah, cats can do it. Because they can actually just hop up there and
hop up there
very graceful.
Squat and yep. Mm-hmm. But no, I took her to the
I got
a shelter.
Walker, can you milk me? Sorry.
To the dog, yeah. I took her to the shelter just to kind of like see if she got if she was chipped. And when I took her in, they like literally just grabbed her and put her in the back, and I was like, because I was like, my mind was like, oh, I'll hold on to her for like a week or something to like, you know, foster her in a sense at least. But yeah, they just took her and they're like, oh no, we can't let you foster. Sorry. But you know, after like a week, you can adopt her if you want. And I was like, maybe, but unfortunately I think it's smarter to not do it right now when I'm not when I didn't plan to, you know? So
yeah, better
maybe
to prep.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, it's a puppy too. That needs like a lot of training where I'm like, I'm not going to be home enough to do that. So I'll wait.
Would be good to call her since there's guts. Gutsina.
That would Yeah, totally.
That's not where I thought you were going with this, but okay.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think he knows any Berserk names to like
because I was okay, gonna that, joke and be like, oh, this is Guts, and then this is my new dog Bowels. Like,
I like to name my dogs after my afflictions.
Mm-hmm. Your afflictions of having guts, a generalized having term guts for organs.
Guts' first name is Bubbles. Bubble Guts. And
Bubbles Guts?
Yeah, Bubbles S. Guts.
I thought it was Bubbles because he was named after Michael Jackson's monkey.
Wait, who is? Oh, the Bubbles.
Bubbles, yeah.
Yeah,
I always name my animals after other people's animals.
America's favorite pet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But no, that was pretty much my week. Just Silent Hill and throwing puppies out. Kicking him out.
Nice.
No. Throwing puppies out. Like, I mean, like, sounded like it was going to lead somewhere. To, like,
no, I meant, like, yeah. No. That's why when I said, I was like, I meant kicking him out. Yeah. I did the Jack Black kick from fucking Anchorman. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Ooh, nice.
What do you love, man? Huh? What's your favorite thing, man?
My dog.
I'm awful fond of my dog Baxter here.
Well, I love a nice glass of scotch.
Wow, you had a whole wheel of cheese. I'm not even mad. I'm just like impressed.
Just impressed.
But yeah, what about you, Gilding? How's your week been?
It was very busy. You know, I'm very busy, demanding job. I worked 6 days this week. Not really a fan of that stuff, but in all of my free time, I tried to play Baldur's Gate as much as I could.
Yeah.
Nice.
I watched Hellboy a couple times. Pretty good.
Wow. Two more times.
A couple times?
Damn. Yeah. Wait, the new one, right?
Yeah. Wow. It's
you just decided to go watch the Rob Perlman one a couple times.
So I was like, have you seen like maybe the other ones, maybe?
No, not in a while. I meant to the other day, but actually I was watching the newest one. It's really
accidentally good. Put on the wrong one, and I was like, well, I gotta finish this one.
No, but it's a good movie. I do hope that it looks like it's actually getting good reviews, and I hope it makes money to make more, or you know, enough money to make another one.
To make more money.
Yeah. Maybe they can
get a theater release.
Yeah,
I got bit by a mouse.
I was there for her. Like, I heard us all that
because I worked in pest control, and someone that I had helped had caught a mouse, and I put it in a bag, and I went to go throw it away, and I threw it away at the end of the day, and you know, I felt bad because I was like, I'm not going to kill this thing. I'm going to let it go. So I had my gloves on and everything, like these thick latex rubber gloves.
Right,
and
right.
It's stuck on a glue trap. And so I'm pouring oil on this thing.
Oh.
And it,
okay.
I'm trying to loosen it up, and I felt it like turn around and bite me on the finger, but it didn't break skin. Mm. It didn't break skin at all. I even
half man, half rat.
I made sure the glove too wasn't broken either, and it was good. But I felt it. I still felt it. I was like, "Whoa!" And so that, yeah, it's been fucking with my mind ever since. Like, I'm okay.
You're becoming like rat man.
The fact that the little mouse could like bite strong enough for you to feel it all the way through the glove, and like,
well, I didn't like feel teeth or anything. I just felt like it felt like a pinch.
A pinch,
yeah.
But I didn't bleed.
I always just find it shocking that they're so small, but they have so much force in their bite.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, definitely. What happened to them? Did you like end up getting it off the trap, or was it like?
So I got off the trap, and then it fell on the grass in the field. And since it was coated in glue, it was then coated in glue and grass, and it couldn't really run. And then the neighborhood cats immediately ran up to it and started hitting it. And I was like,
they got covered in glue. And
then they became one.
The ball started forming a snowball of sorts.
I was like, why did I
Katamari Damacy over here.
I was like, none of this mattered.
Yeah. God.
This mouse is definitely going to get eaten right now.
Yeah. It was like a bad idea to put it right where all the cats are in hindsight. So I was like, And that sounds, I mean, like, you know, I know some people will feed, like, their cats mice, you know, give them something fun to play with, kind of, you know, stimulate the mind.
Yeah.
It's like, but God, yeah. It makes me think of those, like, those videos where someone, like, caught a squirrel or a chipmunk in their house or something, and they go to release it, and then, like, a bird comes down and just,
yeah, like sweeps it up. Yeah. It's like, oh, here you go, little buddy.
So we'll know if I have any deadly viruses in the next coming week.
I think you'll be fine. I mean,
or you'll just turn into a mouse, yeah. Man.
Ratma. Ooh. Ratma. All hail,
yeah.
Ratma.
Yeah. Nice. I'm Ratman.
Ooh, yeah. But no, we're not talking about Ratman today. We're talking about his arch enemy from a... Whatever. Joker. We're talking about Joker.
Man-Bat?
Joker 2.
Joker 2.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Ratcatcher.
Stinky Doo Doo, more like, or Joker 2, Folly Ado Doo. But I should say Joker 2.
Joker 2, P.
Yeah, Stinky Doo Doo. P.
Doo
Doo. Doopy Doo Doo. Yeah. Yeesh, I am. Well, you go ahead, actually.
Joker
you...
2, Sacre Bleu.
Sacre Bleu.
So, I saw Joker 2.
Yeah, Gibbledang was the one who took the bullet on this one.
Yeah, yeah, so me and Jim Lee and Nate have actually not seen it, but I have been curious since I've heard all the bad reviews.
Yeah, yeah, because you know what? As quote unquote controversial as the first one was, I did like it. It wasn't anything groundbreaking. It was just two Martin Scorsese movies with a Joker makeup on it. It was. Yeah, it was still entertaining. I thought it showed what comic book movies could be. You know, they could be something different, which was very, like, I appreciate that. And the acting was good. Well, pretty great, actually.
I figure, like, Joaquin Phoenix is still a really good actor. Like,
yeah. That's why it's funny to hear, like, the original got, like, award-winning, like, it's an award-winning movie, and then this new one's getting compared to Morbius. It's, like, such a crazy
dynamic. I don't know if it's getting compared to Morbius. I know, like, that it's...
Sales-wise, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not making as much money as Morbius, because Morbius is an enjoyable... You could have fun watching that movie.
Oh, God, this one's not even that, wow.
No, yeah, so starting off... Oh, man. And you know what? There was some promise because the movie opens up with, like, this animated sequence, which very much reminds me of, like, Looney Tunes, kind of Bugs Bunny, WB cartoon.
Whimsical.
Yeah. Like. And it's called Me and My Shadow. And it's basically, like, it's a cartoon that shows how Joker's shadow is starting to outgrow him and become bigger and do all these mischievous things. And it's just alluding to the fact that he's left behind this kind of, like, legacy where he's got all these people that, like, are constantly, like, yeah, the shadow basically, it represents how he's got all these fanatics now and just his the consequences of his actions. And without going, like, too much into it right now, the animated sequence, because I knew the plot of the movie before I watched the movie. And so watching the animated sequence in the very beginning, it just tells you what happens in the movie.
That's like it a just breakdown explains of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so if you look at it...
bad, but yeah. Like, I like when a movie does it, but when it does it subtly.
Yeah, it is kind of subtle, but basically, I don't know. It's knowing that I'm just like, oh, okay, that's the movie right there, like, just kind of told in a cartoon. Yeah, but the entire movie is basically Arthur Fleck, Joker, Joaquin Phoenix, in Arkham Asylum, waiting for his trial, and there's two set pieces only. It's Arkham Asylum and the courtroom. And it just bounces back and forth between those, like, so much. And it's so fucking boring.
I mean, it's a sequel, so it only has two sets. That makes sense.
in the first 30 minutes, you know, it just goes over how Arthur's mistreated by the guards and how he's how his life is in Arkham, and you get the introduction of Harley Quinn in that time, who basically in their first meeting, which is like them passing by in a hallway, she goes, "Hey," and like they look at each other, and then she does the gun to the head thing in the hallway, like. But she shouldn't.
I think I've seen it in trailers.
How does she know that? Like, how does, like, that was something specifically that like Fleck would do
to himself
like, and to his neighbor. That, you know, I don't know. It's just one thing.
Was she not just referencing him shooting the talk show host in the head?
That's
fair. I mean, it's a generic, it could have like, been,
but it's also
symbol,
like,
but yeah.
Compare, like, when someone specifically already uses that motion.
No, it's like a reference.
The movie prior, it's like, oh, okay, so it's a reference to that. But how does she know about that, you know?
Just coincidence. Did the neighbor die, or is she alive?
She's alive. She comes back later.
Maybe she, like, told the news, and it's kind of, like, public, like, off camera. Like, it's just, you know, we're just bridging gaps here of not, like, things.
Yeah.
To make that work.
Maybe, yeah.
That's the only thing I could think of otherwise. Or it's just very coincidental.
Ratted him out.
Harley, you know, when they pass by each other, it's because Joker passes by the musical therapy class. And so later, you know, it turns out that Joker also gets enrolled into the musical therapy class by one of the guards who seems like he has like a weird love-hate relationship with Arthur. It's very, very weird. Once Arthur finds out he's going on trial, that's when you get the after he meets Harley, that's when you get the first musical, or like the first song.
How many songs are there?
Yes, too many. How long roughly? Is it? And how long is it
too many?
For the first song?
2 hours, 20 minutes. It's like maybe 20 minutes
into the movie.
Or 30 minutes into the... No, 20 minutes into the movie.
That's pretty fucking late. Okay. It's like people have like invested, like they don't know.
It's a and meanwhile,
they're like locked in.
The regular score is... It is beautiful, but in a movie like this, it becomes so like just... It's just so... Solen and what is it? Drab? Not drab, but just sorrowful and sullen, and like it's the score from the first movie. Yeah, it's like too much. It's like, okay, you're just watching this sad guy in prison. Kinda. Like it's too dreary. There we go. Dreary. And then it gets to the musical sequence, the first song. He's in like this indoor recreational area in Arkham where they're watching, like, you know, where they watch TV. And he just starts, like, somebody asks him a question. Like, oh, hey, Arthur, how do you feel about this? And then he just starts singing a song. And it's not even like a song that kind of answers. Well, I guess it does answer. It's like, for once in my life, I'd have meaning or something, but it's just Joaquin Phoenix dancing around in a circle,
looking crazy,
like circling around these people. He's not in Joker makeup. It's like this is what you want the first song to be. It's like it's just this boring scene of just nothing.
It's almost filler.
Yeah, it's like I would have expected the first song to be big and bombastic or something, but it's just everything is very smoky lounge jazz.
Like they didn't commit or something almost, and not, like or they committed too late maybe.
Not like it's a bad thing, but it's just nothing. It's just a lot of like lounge singing, you
filler.
Know?
Yeah.
So whatever, this stuff happens back and forth, you know, they get some, they They're okay, and this is what also bothered me about the singing too, or all the musical scenes. It didn't want to pick what kind of musical it wanted to be. So at the end of the first song, basically, you know, you get somebody that asks Joker that question. He sings around the room dancing, and then it's like, hey, did you hear me? And then, like, he, like, snaps out of it, and it's like, so what are you going to do?
One.
You know, there's that. And then at points with Harley, there's just, she's doing stuff, but you hear Lady Gaga singing, like, as Harley, obviously, but just over the scene. You know, so it's like...
It's just like a regular scene, but then she's so like, Joker face to Joker face.
Yeah, Joker face.
Yeah.
Good callback.
Yeah, to your joke.
Oh, sorry, God, I wonder what I said about that. Yeah, we should just come back to that at the end. I forgot what that was. Oof.
Yeah, it's true. See how right you were?
So there's that, and then there's... and then they do it where... these guys are actually singing in real life, and people react. Do like
all types of musicals.
Yeah.
Like, they do Grease, they do fucking Phantom of the Paradise, they do, like, fucking all, like, not consistent. It's interesting.
The important musical Phantom of the Paradise.
Sorry, that's all, I don't know too many of different variety, I should say.
But there's a point where, like, Joker gets interviewed, and... the interviewer asks him a question, and then he just starts singing, and everyone's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, why is he just singing?
Yeah. I like how they're in an insane asylum, and they're like, oh man, that guy's acting weird. Like, what the fuck? And it's like, yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, I would expect some weirdness.
This stuff goes on back and forth for about, like, it takes about 40 minutes before you get the Joker makeup.
God damn, like half the movie.
It's just so sad and dreary, and it goes back and forth between being these weird, like, musical sequences. And, like, I don't have an issue with musicals. It's just...
oh, yeah.
This was so boring.
It's like they don't commit, it sounds like.
And so, you know, it's... you do get some good relationship stuff with... between Harley and Joker. Like, they do have a good wait, what did you say?
I said dynamic.
I said rapport.
Yeah, you could tell that they actually, like,
they had those.
They got along, you know what I mean?
yeah,
I don't know why the word's escaping me right now. No, chemistry. They had really good chemistry. You know, there's a point where Joker and Harley manage to almost nearly escape, and then Joker gets sent to isolation. You know, you get much more instances of, like, how shitty Joker's life is and how fucking whatever, even though he's a murderer.
Right.
And then at one point when Joker's in solitary, he gets visited by Harley, who's like, hey, they're transferring me out of here because you and I are too much trouble or whatever. She was like, but once you're on trial, I'll be able to see you every single day in the courtroom. And so there's that, I guess, and that makes Arthur happy. She ends up getting transferred out. But plot twist, it actually turns out that Harley voluntarily checked in, and she's just a manipulative Joker fanboy who is actually rich and fucking comes from a wealthy family. And she used to be a psychiatrist or whatever, or she has her PhD or whatever. It's, you know, that's kind of the bait and switch, I guess.
She, like, represents those, like, the fangirls of all, like, the, like, serial killers in real life who, devote themselves to, like, doing paintings and writing and doing all this stuff for, like, the serial killers while they're in jail.
She only loves Joker.
Yeah, fair.
And another point that Weekly Planet brought up that I hate is that everyone calls him Joker, like, not the Joker, you know?
Yeah.
It's just... you're Joker. You can do anything. Like that's all I keep thinking about, and it just sounds so fucking weird now. You're Joker.
Because well, it's almost like they're saying the meme where we were like, you're Joker from Joker.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I guess it's because the director has straight up said, well, this isn't the Joker.
That's probably okay, a huge buddy. Legal point yeah. in making this movie.
Maybe? I don't know. Even then, it's... So dumb to not commit. I don't, Joker... This movie sounds like no one's committed to it, essentially.
Well, no, the only people getting. Committed to it are Joaquin and Lady Gaga, and a lot of people are saying that
I guess.
It's like it was like they kind of took over production.
That's why I'm like, all the people that should have been writing the movie, making the musical like good, and like knowing what a musical like how what it is, weren't committed. I guess is like the key point.
I'm checking my notes too. And I have it written here, a musical made by a director who doesn't know how to make a musical / block a musical.
Basically, it sounds like it.
I feel like, I feel like it's perfectly described in the fact that like Lady Gaga is a, she is like a, from a musical theater background, like went to a musical theater school for her, like furthering her arts education. And, but like, she never actually performed a lot on Broadway. She did some performing, but then she very quickly became a songwriter for other stars, you know. She like wrote a couple songs for, I think it was like Britney Spears. And then she you know, made her debut pretty much, and then she made her debut as her own artist. But like she never like, she like, I feel like she is making an entire musical when she herself has not actually
done that
many musicals past her like education phase. And it's like,
well, I will say,
you're not at the
point.
Yeah,
it does sound like she might have been mainly more along for the ride. Like it seems like mainly it was a Joaquin Phoenix and like Todd Phillips kind of taking the reins too much, because apparently Lady Gaga has been like blindsided by all of this. Where she's been like, well, I thought we all did good. I thought the movie was going to be good. there's even a video, Dala, we talked about this, where after they premiere the film at a festival, you see Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga talking to each other. And someone did like the lip syncing. And it's Joaquin Phoenix being like, that was terrible. Yikes, that was bad. And Lady Gaga's like, what? No, I thought that was great. Like, and Joaquin Phoenix is just like shaking his head, being like, nope.
Like,
nope.
This is terrible.
See, that sounds to me like
she
had
know.
Like, no, that she had a lot of like, I don't know. That sounds like she had more investment in it. Like, where a lot of those things were her insistence. And so she's like, that was good. That was good, right? That was good. And then he like was like, no.
More people. The more that comes out about it, actually, it's it's actually might just be entirely Todd Phillips's fault, because I'm looking at my notes more and more, and it's Warner Brothers have distanced themselves, and they'd be like, look, this was a Todd Phillips movie.
Maybe it was a George Lucas situation where just like nobody could stop the director from.
He
like
had
really being heavy-handed with everything.
A big thing is that he had Final Cut, which is insane. And I think it's because of the last movie that they're like, oh, we'll give him fucking, we'll let the reins loose.
Yeah. But you did such a good job. Let's, you know, it's like, come on. Yeah. But don't do a thing you've never done, a musical, you know? Yeah, yep. And for a second I thought Lady Gaga, this was her first role, but it looks like it's her like fifth movie she's been in the two seasons.
Good amount. Yeah,
she's literally five movies, two episodes of American Horror Story, or two seasons or whatever it is.
I have
she's
not funny or fun
important.
That's the thing too, it's not funny. The first Joker was pretty funny. There was parts where it made me laugh, you know. Like whether or not it was like slapstick humor or like just quick things, like it was funny.
God, this sounds like a slog to watch, but I'm glad I didn't.
It does, yeah.
I watched it over two nights. The judge,
nice.
The judge in the movie looks like Martin Scorsese, which I don't know if you guys remember the whole discourse over whether or not Martin Scorsese was involved with the first movie, his judgments on it being like, oh, it's fucking whatever. There's a lot of discourse about Martin Scorsese and how he views comic book movies. And so to position him as the judge and then have the Joker in an imaginary sequence, come out with a hammer and try to whack him on the head. It's just like, it just feels like another heavy-handed,
state or reference.
Yeah. It's like everything was very, sounds very like so on the nose.
So,
symbolism.
At this point in the cam rip, someone left, and then I almost left too.
Wait, oh, like in the record.
You can see someone get up and leave the theater and just give up on the movie.
I love the idea of you just getting up and leaving your room too. Just like, wow, I'm fucking, I can't even be bothered.
You leave your own house.
I did, to talk to my roommate. I paused it. I'm like, I'm watching Joker right now.
I'm surprised you even paused it. Shit. That's funny.
At this point, there's another court scene. Arthur breaks down in court and fires his lawyer. And all of the Joker fans and Harley are like, yeah, you did it, Joker.
You did it, Pudding.
She doesn't even say that. He's so, I know he's just mentally unstable, but he's also just not, he's a fucking idiot. Like, he's not, Arthur is not, like, he decides to represent himself. And, yeah, my God, he's just not a smart person, which I get is the whole thing. He's this person that, you know, just slipped through the cracks of society, as they said.
We do live in a society.
You gotta put, that's why this movie's here.
And the thing is, the way I could put it is that the movie, the performance is very compelling. The character is not. You know, it's I don't know in this one, at least. In the first one, I like the character more. In this one, he's just manipulated by Harley Quinn and everyone around him, he fires his lawyer, he decides to represent himself, and he does a Foghorn Leghorn impression, or like accent.
That's so for a little bit, awesome.
Which I thought that was pretty funny.
That's crazy. He does the Southern lawyer bit.
He's like, now you see, I go ahead and I'm just a simple Southern lawyer.
I'm your simple Joker, you know. But
I'll say.
Ooh, before I get into this part though,
there's like one part I know, and I'm thinking, I don't know. There's one thing I know about this movie that I'm like, oh gosh.
Waiting for it? Yeah, same. I know exactly.
Dude, people smoke so much in this movie. I have no judgment on smoking. They use it like, oh my God. Like, it feels, and maybe Gym Leader Nate, you might understand what I mean by this. But it feels like beginning actor mistakes where they decide to just focus so much on the prop and being like, look at the prop in my hand that I have. Like, this movie has made me hate cigarettes just because of how much they smoke and how much it's like
in the camera. It doesn't take place in like the 70s or 80s, right? Like, it's not.
Yeah, but it's literally, it's everyone is like
modern, I think.
Yeah. Especially Joker. Joker's like, oh, I'm having a cigarette.
Just emphasis on the smoking, big arm movements.
I think that means you hate their acting choices.
just you wait.
To be honest, because there's lots of movies where people smoke the whole movie all the time and you barely notice it.
Maybe this was like sponsored by
a big
cigarette.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Maybe it's like, was it a product placement by Big Cigarette?
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm
was
saying
also
that
a little
the focus on this and it's these acting choices have made me just like, I don't like cigarettes now. You know, like, what the fuck?
They were my favorite, but fuck them now.
No,
maybe I should see this movie. It'll make me quit.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
Watch you actually like it.
So when he's representing,
yeah, I'm like, and then now actually that's how I'm smoking cigarettes around you all the time now. Like, who wants to play magic?
Doing big kicks, talking in a foghorn leghorn impression.
I'll say, I'll play counterspell. I'll say here.
I love the idea of holding out your hand and then you have a cigarette and like your pinky, like, knuckle joint in the same hand
as the magic cards.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So in this court scene, he ends up talking to, his name is Gary Puddles. He's the little person from, the first movie,
the clown agency or whatever.
That's probably the best scene in this movie. It's very well acted between both of them. Even when, so basically fucking Joker decides to not interrogate, but ask Gary these questions, and like Gary could barely look at him. He's like, you know, you've traumatized me, man. You've made life hard for me. Like, you and the hardest, oh my God, it was so sad. He was like, the hardest thing about this was you were the only person that talked to me before all of this. Oh, you were the only person that saw me like for who I was. And then like, now I can't. Oh, and then he was like, and then you made me feel small. And I was like, oh, okay, that's really like, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
And there's even, between that, there's points where like Joker is, he's trying to keep up the foghorn, leghorn impression, but then his voice starts to crack because he starts to hear how he's hurting or how much he hurt Gary. That's a good scene. That's a really good scene.
Worth the watch. Go out now and check this movie out.
And then, you know, I don't know if things get heated, but basically Joker's like, how does this happen?
How does this movie happen?
And then he got all mad.
Yeah.
Then he got all mad, yeah.
And then they sing.
No, basically I think it ends with people being like, oh, no further questions or whatever. And they kind of end it for the day right there. But I guess right before that, Joker had managed to call the guards stupid at the asylum. He managed to like talk shit about them on air, and the guards see it. And then Joker gets back to the asylum, and very big trigger warning.
With the bullet, big trigger warning.
Yeah.
Big
SW
wee-wee-wee.
Trigger warning. Yeah.
The guards sexual Joker, and you know what, I had heard about this before watching it, and I thought, oh, surely this must be taken out of context, surely it's one of those things where people are just trying to like make it sound like it's like
worse than it is or something.
Or like he didn't, it wasn't actually that, it was actually like they beat him up, they're just clipping it weird.
It's like, no, it's very much implied, like heavily imply that that's what the guards did to him.
God,
like,
damn. Jeez.
And it's so fucking like, dude, once I got to this point, I had to pause it. I had to be like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like, why? Mm-hmm. Like, this is so unnecessary. Nobody wants to see this. Like,
probably did nothing for the plot or character growth at all.
Nothing.
It's a DC
it was just
Comics
in there.
Movie. It's like, geez.
Yeah. Like, why? Why? It's so upsetting. Even thinking about it now, it's so upsetting. And not even in like, that's the Joker. It's like, what? Like, oh my God, dude. Why? It's such a cheap, I don't know.
Plot. Not even device. I don't know. Like, it's just such a,
I think it's something, it always feels like something that bad writers use to try and draw emotions out of an audience during dead film or show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like when they don't have anything that's really that engaging or for a real reason for you to feel sorry for the person, they just use that to try and evoke exactly immediately.
Yeah. It's
or like build trauma for the character. But like,
yeah, and a lot of writers are still under that stupid notion that like basically like trauma itself is character development.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, just watching fucked up things happen to somebody is not character development.
Yeah. Like, no, not at all.
And that's everything you just said right now, Nate, is what these movies are, or at least this movie. It's what this movie has
it's
been.
It's just watching fucked up things happen to Joker and them calling it character development.
And then a shitty musical
Every now and then they sing.
What else? Yeah, so at this point,
I'm pretty happy I have not seen this one.
So sad. Now I'm like, actually, I don't care to see this now.
At this point, I start like skipping 10 seconds in between. Like, I'm like, okay, what's happening? Like,
yeah,
I'm fast forwarding at this point. I think Harley Quinn. I skipped through a Harley Quinn song. Another thing, she doesn't look like she's from her time period. Like, Lady Gaga looks, and I know it sounds very, well, it shouldn't be nitpicky because it's a period piece, but she doesn't look like from the 70s at all. I don't know how to explain
it. Is it a 70s period?
I didn't realize.
I think 80s?
It's like, but I didn't realize it was a period piece, okay, to be honest, either. I just thought it was like modern day.
I thought I had remembered that vaguely from the first movie, how like there weren't like iPhones or anything. Mm. There weren't like, it was definitely like a
period piece.
Like a because the talk show is basically modeled after like 60s, like, 70s late night talk shows, you know?
Yeah, true.
So
it's probably like 70s, 80s, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it is like a supposed to be period. And so basically Lady Gaga just looks like she's modern day the whole time.
Yeah, and not to be like, not to comment on her appearance, but she also has like a lot of filler and a lot of like, she has had a lot of plastic surgery. And yeah, that no, does I get that. Change it too, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like that's been happening a lot with like fantasy series now, where like it will be a fantasy series where they're like, oh, and this is the princess of the medieval kingdom, and she has like huge fake lips
it's a spell,
obvious.
She did a book
and like
spell.
perfect like brand new veneers, like white veneers and shit, and it's like this just is really, really hard to accept, like, even in a fantasy series.
I want an accurate one where their teeth are all fucked up and brown and shit.
Yeah.
I skipped to the final court scene. Joker's basically, he's in Joker makeup, and they're all like, so what do you got to say, Joker? In the courtroom. And he's just like, there is no Joker. My whole life sucks. Everything sucks. And just the whole tone of hearing him say all that he gets japed is like so fucking like, it's like so uncomfortable and like I don't want to be the Joker anymore. It's like, what the fuck? Who thought this was like,
what's a weird conclusion?
So wait, so when people on the internet said they literally
japed it,
the Joker out of him,
they basically did,
they did, because oh my god, dude, it's so
this movie is like, if you want to see the Joker suffer for like
so
two
Batman
and a half
didn't
hours,
have to kill him after all.
Just probably should have mercy killed him. Like at this fucking point, goddamn.
That's still in Batman's code.
Whatever.
Yeah, true.
Whatever. The courtroom blows up because Joker fans have wanted to break out the Joker, and I just realized I didn't even mention that Harvey Dent's in this movie. And,
Harvey Dent about is that, in yeah. this
he's
movie.
He's the
prosecutor.
Yeah. And in this explosion, he gets his face. Not even fucking, like, it looks like he got dragged through pavement a little bit. You know what I mean?
Like scratched or something a little.
Yeah.
Like scuffed up.
Scuff face. Yeah. Scuffed nice. Face.
Two scuff.
Scuff face.
Two scuff, two face.
Scratch face.
And so, yeah, these Joker fanatics kidnap Joker, or I guess they save him or whatever. And halfway through, Joker's like, no, I don't want this. Okay, so yeah, I guess it is kidnapping. Joker's like, I don't want this, and then he runs out of the car and he runs away and he runs to the stairs for some reason.
Oh, nice.
Where he meets Lady Gaga, who's like, I love Joker and there is no Joker and you're not Joker, fuck you. She doesn't say that, but basically that's basically what I'm saying.
And wait, so Lady Gaga dumps him at the end,
yeah,
too?
Because,
like, I hate you?
Yeah,
because
she's only like, I like Joker. I don't like this Arthur bitch that stands befronts to me.
I thought it was, like, a figment of his imagination for a minute, where it's like, no, I never actually liked, but I see. It's like, oh, no,
well, that's
like
the thing.
Crazy version
of you. It might be. It might be, because I know that in that song I skipped over, at the end of it, Harley puts the gun to her head. So, like, but even then, what the fuck does that even mean? Who cares? Because if she put the gun to her head and killed herself, okay, yeah, Harley's dead. But even then, once Joker gets to the top of the stairs, she breaks up with him in his mind.
In so his mind, yeah.
Might as well be real, because it's real to him. So.
Yeah. And then his dog dies, and his mom got malaria. And he got an F on his test. Like, what the fuck else can happen? Jesus.
Well, what happens is Joker gets picked up, obviously, and taken back to the asylum, where once he gets sent to his cell, one of the guards is like, "Oh, you got a visitor," which, you know, you're supposed to think, "Oh, what if it's Harley Quinn? Oh my god!" But it isn't.
It's Harvey Dent.
It's just this one random. Inmate that tries to tell him a joke, and then he kills him and fucking smile into his face.
Oh, he kills Joker.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, Joker kills the inmate.
No. The inmate tries to tell a joke to the Joker. He fails at that, but then he just kills the Joker, stabs him a bunch in the stomach, and then you see him in the background cut his face, which... For what people, I feel like a lot of people don't, like, immediately are like, "Oh my god, that's fucking Heath Ledger!" It's like, no, you fucking idiot. Like, it's think of the timing, you're thinking of everything, like, no.
Yeah, it's also, no.
Yeah,
wait,
no,
that's not
also.
Actually how it ends.
Yeah.
Nice.
I can't tell if you're doing a bit.
No, I wish I was.
Yeah, I was gonna say, the Joker gets shanked to death
back in the same asylum that he already escaped from.
Wait, he never escaped from it. So jot that down.
Joker's terrible, no good.
Joker's
bad,
absolutely terrible,
he got
no
out.
Bad.
The
day.
Point is, he got out. He made it.
Broke
him out.
He was forced out.
And then
he
gets. It's like God, it's just like if you told me, like, "Oh, this is the Joker in prison," and then the end he gets stabbed to death in prison, I wouldn't have thought there was a brief interlude where he busted out and then got rearrested.
I think Lisa Trevor had a better day than Joker. To compare fucking Resident Evil character. God, this is like terrible, sad movie, like depressing movie, I should say, not even sad.
It's like the whole movie is that meme of someone saying we live in a society but saying nothing. It's like that's truly the whole movie.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's weird because it's not even like it made me sad. Like, I recognize that these were...
That's why I'm like depressing more, so...
Yeah. It's just like I didn't feel bad for these characters. I don't know. God.
Yeah, I'm just kind of annoyed.
I'm just like, okay, cool. I just watched like a bunch of bad shit happen to a guy. Like, that was not great, but it's just like...
Thanks for, I guess, the torture, just like 2-hour torture porn. Like,
I could have watched someone on death row get executed, I guess, in the same, if I get the same feeling.
It sounds like it was very much like an attempt by Todd Phillips to be a spit in the face in the fans, you know?
Oh, I'm sure, like self-correct and like, in a sense, too.
Or at least, the people that recognize that were like, "Oh my God, Joker's me." Because there were a lot of like incels that were like, "Oh my God, the Joker movie, that's actually, I feel seen and shit like that." And,
fair.
But he just decided to make a bad movie.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like, it's like he was mad that the incels were like relating. And he's like, "Okay, well, that's you then. I'm going to have him get like all these bad things happen to him."
Exactly.
Like, it's like his own self-revenge film, like, or catharsis, I guess. It's such a fucking damn... Well, thanks for sharing.
It's also like
I'm glad I don't have to watch it.
It's like so revealing and ham-fisted.
Yeah,
like, to just be like, "Symbolism. Oh, I want to make these guys feel bad for relating to them, so I'm just gonna grape them." And it's like, wow, real clever.
Just, and have his girlfriend break up with them and put him back in jail. Stab him with silence.
That's crazy. I'm sorry.
His dog runs away.
Movie.
Yeah. No, yeah. See, I appreciate you watching it for us.
Yeah, literally, thank you for taking that bullet.
No.
You're not welcome.
I wish... See, that's the thing. I had high hopes because I do like the idea of a Joker musical. I fucked with that. That sounded really fun. But what I was really expecting was...
Intriguing.
them going full on with the imagination, like I expected it to be imaginary sequences.
Yeah.
But
like that Harley Quinn sequence in Suicide Squad.
Yeah, kinda.
In the new James Gunn.
Where it's not a musical, but she's like jumping around killing and there's like
no, but like her imagination kind of comes to life.
Yeah.
Well, there is that, but I was thinking specifically like
just
only. It should have been like a Broadway play within the movie. Mm. Like when it cuts to that, there should have been like sets. There should have been sets.
Yeah, the full proscenium stage.
That'd be cool.
It should have been really big, bombastic songs. They should have had original music. Like, it shouldn't have been like a
jukebox. Oh, was it not original music?
It was a jukebox musical.
No!
Oh yeah. My god, I didn't. So they even did that. That's so funny.
Yeah.
They're like, we're going to do every type of musical, including jukebox. God
and
damn
that's yeah. Okay. And that is musical. That's like musical sin. Like, when it comes to musicals, like, the most, like, always the hokiest musicals are jukebox musicals.
And so, like, it would have been so cool if there was these big set pieces, these elaborate, bright costumes. I was expecting, like, just whole, like, the almost like Newsies kind of, like, I don't know how to explain it. Or, like, just something big and bombastic where it would have been a perfect time to make like a musical, stylize it, make something different again in making a comic book musical. They could have had the Joker be like at one point have to do like his dance or whatever, pull out a big fucking gun, click, and then the big bang flag comes out. Yeah. You know, like it's Harley Quinn and her mouth. Like there's so much you could do.
Oh, totally.
And they did nothing.
Because I found the first one like mid, like a C level. It's like, it's fine, personally. So when I heard the second one was going to be a musical, I was like, okay, now I'm actually like intrigued. Like if it's a, you know, basically what you were saying, like I thought there'd be like all these like cool sets and transitions, songs. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Have you guys seen the movie Chicago?
No.
No.
Sorry. So I feel like that's a very good framework that they could have used where basically since the whole show is about like these like kind of like burlesques and like or cabarets, sorry. These like Chicago cabarets.
Cabinets.
And basically every time a number starts, it goes from being shot like a movie to flashing to all of a sudden it's literally a stage and it's literally a musical.
Oh, nice.
Every single number, it cuts to an actual musical stage and a full number, and everybody's in costume, and there's a piano player, and like
that's cool,
and it's a whole thing, and they're all performing as if it's not a musical. Technically, they're performing as if they're on stage at a like jazz cabaret. Mm.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was like considering the first movie stole from Taxi Driver and was a King of Comedy. They could have just stole from Chicago for this one. I mean,
yeah.
Make Joker, literally,
they could have. And the whole thing in Chicago is about a court case.
Oh, what
the fuck? It's all about someone being tried for murder.
Huh.
Yeah, so, like, if they had done it in the actual style of Chicago, they literally could have
done well.
There are some sequences, like, there are some imaginary sequences that it is shot very much like that's when it's shot like a loungy kind of sometimes jazz, it looks like it's on a stage, like there's a point where Harley and Joker sing a song and it looks like they're introing a show, but it's still even that is very flat. It's just everything is very flat, you know.
I mean, if they only have two sets, there's only so much you could do with it.
Well, not only two sets, but you know, that's just two main set pieces. Yeah,
gotcha.
I'm going to say, too, the jukebox thing is so limiting. It is so limiting to a musical. Because the actual musicals, because they're writing the songs, they use the song itself to explain more about the characters and actually like say like more about what's going on. But when you can only use vague, generic songs in order to try and make them apply to the situation, it means that each musical break is truly a musical break. You're halting the story dead stop to just do a song. And then try to pick it up afterwards.
Yeah. Oh my god, so much of that. Man. And, you know, even thinking like, oh my god, it would have been... It's crazy, because they really could have found something where they could have pleased all of the fans who wanted to see more Joker stuff, and piss off the incels by making it a musical and making it this big flamboyant like almost not drag show, but like, you know, like just a big performance, you know.
God, it would have been just made it way gayer.
It would have been perfect. Yeah, seriously, it would have been perfect. A perfect opportunity to like bring in Scarecrow. Okay, Scarecrow's in there, and then you get Scarecrow in costume. Okay, you get the Penguin. Very you get flamboyant. Someone else in there. You know, like and have it all these be these big imaginary sequences. You know, like
that'd be cool.
Woof, big woof. So that was Joker. Stinky poo poo. Yeah, not a good movie. Not fun. Don't waste your time on it.
Joker frolics in a doo-doo.
Joker frolics in a doo-doo.
There you go.
But yeah, that got me thinking, you know, and got me thinking of another fun little game. So I noticed that just like unlike the first movie, you know, Joker 1, as it's called, that was very much Joker Un. God damn it. Yeah, so unlike the first Joker movie, this one didn't really seem to be a movie disguised as another movie, you know? Whereas the first Joker movie, known as Joker 1, that one was basically just Taxi Driver and King of Comedy, you know, two Martin Scorsese movies. Which those are really good. But, you know, it just shows the amount of, I guess that we should have known back then that shows the amount of creativity that Todd Phillips has. But it got me thinking, you know, what other DC movie or DC villain specifically, you know, it could be Batman. It could be, you know, spin-off movies.
Yeah.
Also, disguised as other movies. Do you want to see?
Real quick, too, there was also the Penguin show, which everyone's been comparing to Sopranos, which is funny to hear. That's like a lot of DC villains are just aping off other shit.
Yeah, that's how you got to do it nowadays, I guess.
So actually, funny enough, that Penguin show made me think of a show, too.
Sure, I'm down.
So picture this, if you will.
What's it called?
Hold on.
Yeah, what is it?
So it's going to be a procedural TV show.
Okay.
Right? Very episodic. And it's going to be, you know, inspired by this whole court case thing. It's going to be a legal procedural, you know?
Okay.
Think like
Law and Order. Think like maybe,
what She-Hulk tried to be.
Yeah.
And so it's Law and Order-esque and it has that feeling to it. But this is the story of District Attorney Harvey Dent.
Nice.
And as these are completely isolated stories that we go through in each episode, but over the course of it, we get to see how his ideals start to shift.
Ooh.
And kind of like the change that happens, and we get to really actually observe like the small changes through exposure of injustices and the things that how the system fails people, that slowly starts putting that crack in Harvey's facade and allowing him to eventually become
the Two-Face.
Two-Face,
That's cool. I love that. I think before we recorded, we were saying like, I assume that's the idea you had that was like actually not too bad. We were like, I would.
Yeah, that's the one where I think it would kind of be fire. It's like see these very real court cases where you're like learning about these people who are suffering in Gotham, and like it's like a very harsh look at like the state of what Gotham life is really like for your average person, and how helpless that makes Harvey Dent feel eventually, because even when he gets all the way to the rank of district attorney, he still like can't actually get these guys put away, and like and if he does, it still like doesn't stick.
It's like temporary. I also like too that it's like you can get like cameos of like Scarecrow, Ventriloquist, you know, like some of the like criminals that he's like prosecuting or trying to prosecute. No, sure, that'd be cool. That'd be actually pretty. It's funny too because it reminds me of like the show Gotham a bit, which is in my opinion very inferior of Gotham Central, the comic book, which is literally Law and Order, but Gotham, which is it's really cool because it's like you're episodic. It feels like a Law and Order, but there's like Mr. Freeze is one of the culprits.
Okay.
I was gonna say the example I was gonna give was whatchamacallit. Like it's the wrestler where it's you know, okay. Mickey Rourke living this okay. like yeah. doing this you know, kind of working. I forgot what he does. I think he does like construction or he works at no, he's like a butcher at a supermarket. But he used to be a wrestler. Mm-hmm. His health is failing. He's, but it's Bane. You do it, but it's Bane. You know, so in The Wrestler, Mickey Rourke kind of, he wants to get back into the ring, but his health is like failing. And he only has a certain amount of like fucking times he could do it again before his fucking, before his heart gives out. And so basically you just do that. But you replace him with Bane, and you make it be like he's got Venom. These different it's Venom. He maybe he's even an older Bane where he like it's like his last job, and he has to save like a little girl in prison or a little boy in prison because that's like what he like that's his origin or whatever. So he's just like fuck, I gotta do this thing for the last time. Very much make like a heroic kind of like, you know, just make a, it's just the wrestler,
but like Bane. A redemption arc for Bane. Yeah. Where it's like, he used to fucking rob banks, but now he's kind of turned around a bit.
And you call it the Bane.
Bane.
The Luchador.
And in this movie, that's good. In this movie, everybody says, but you're the Bane. You could do it.
You're
the Bane.
It's funny because I'm trying to think of more villains in the DC repertoire as a whole. But I feel like villains, there's when you think about DC as a whole, are often just too galactic of a threat to like make a happy-go-lucky.
Do you want to? You want a happy-go-lucky one? Because I have two.
I don't think any of these are happy-go-lucky.
I have one.
I don't think the wrestler is happy-go-lucky.
No, you're right. I mean a mundane, mundane story.
A personal story.
Oh, yeah. I have one when Gibbledane gave us this, like, task. I came up with one real one like that's, like, actually good, but one that I was, like... Okay. It's funny. The movie came to me first. This movie will be called Freeze. It's, you know...
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Freeze. Okay. It's aping off the movie Hitch, which came to mind first. Will Smith's Hitch, so I came up with the movie first, and then I was like, "What character?" I was like, "Okay, Freeze. He'll be the not Will Smith, but the what's his name? Who's the guy that plays with Will Smith in Hitch?
Oh, Kevin James.
Kevin James.
Oh, yeah.
Freeze is the Kevin James, and he's trying to like the swoon. Kevin James. And he's trying to swoon
Nora.
You're
the Kevin James.
You're the Kevin James.
You're the Kevin.
You can do anything.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't know, Will Smith's character, Hitch, will be like played by Mad Hatter or something. Just like, he'll be like the dating coach. He's like, no, what you gotta do is you gotta put a hat on her and control her.
Fucked up.
Yeah, you know, because he's trying to like, and he also has his like crushes, Alice, you know, and then Mad Hatter learns through Mr. Freeze, like, oh, if I'm just a goof and like act normal, Alice will like me better. And, you know, that's a prequel to how Freeze met Nora.
Okay.
That's mine.
I did just think of one. Okay. All right. It's like Inglourious Bastards, right?
Okay.
Going behind enemy lines. If you're on a mission. We're going to kill Hitler. Mission number one. We're going to kill Hitler. Yeah, we're killing Hitler. That's our job. Only, it's the Reverse Flash.
Oh god.
Oh, they're gonna kill the reverse flash.
getting a team together to go like back in time and kill Flash's mom and ruin Flash's mom.
Awesome.
And they're like, isn't this morally wrong? He's like, it is, but I need to fuck with the Flash.
Yeah. He's like, he just hates the Flash so much, it doesn't matter.
He's like, that's so, I love that funny meme. It's like, remember that time you came quickly? That was actually me.
It was me, Barry.
It was me. I went back in time at a supersonic speed. I jacked you off so that you'd come in your pants during your first date. It was me all along.
Remember that burnt piece of popcorn in your teeth, Barry? It was me.
I went back in time to stick it in there. I
put it right in there.
Gosh.
That's fucking funny. What else? Yeah. What else?
I do have one last one if you want, or I don't know if you have any more.
I thought of a... It's Baby Driver, but it's just Catwoman.
Okay.
Why?
Interesting. Is she the baby driver? Yeah, I was gonna say, is she the yeah?
Oh, I know. Yeah, the whole thing is because the whole thing is driving.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's a Catmobile.
Actually,
it's like Baby Driver, but like cat driver. Instead of cars, think cats.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be cool for a what is it? Jason Todd origin movie, where it's like,
oh, true. Yeah,
it's like Baby Driver. But he steals the Batmobile, and it's all in one night of him doing, like, this crazy shit.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. That'd be cool. And he's, like, working with the crew. The last one I have is the movie's going to be called Zaz, which is Victor Zaz, who's a serial killer in Gotham that, like, tallies up kills on his body. And I literally just put, it's Halloween, but Zaz, like, is the fucking guy.
That's really good.
That's one that I was like, yeah. It's just a slasher movie with Zaz. You get Bullock as, like, the fucking Loomis character, maybe, because he's a little like, oh, we gotta get Zaz! We gotta get Victor Zaz! You know, he's kind of bumbly and...
Oh, true.
Or you could do Gordon, too, but I felt like Loomis is kind of, like, a little bit more of a... I feel like Gordon would be too calm and stern, you know? He would be the other police officer.
You could do Gordon and then his son. That would also be a good Halloween... Oh.
That'd be they're the ones getting babysat. Zaz is just like out there killing. Batman's maybe like a small cameo or something.
Okay, I had an idea. It's There Will Be Blood.
Okay.
But it's Lex Luthor building his.
That's what I was thinking. That's another one.
And like the tragedy, like tragedies that happen in There Will Be Blood with like the oil explosion and stuff like that.
Kryptonite.
It's more related to like Superman and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I drink your kryptonite.
I did think of one. It was Citizen Kane, but Lex Luthor. And it's that's just it. That's it.
Interesting. And it's just regular otherwise.
Wait.
That actually would work.
That'd be
though.
Crazy. Okay. Yeah. Wait. It is joke. We do Joker again. Yeah. But it's Citizen Kane where like it's like it's someone learning about like the entire history of the Joker upon the Joker's death.
Mm-hmm.
Like he got away with it his whole life. And like all of the secrets and layers of secrets all the way until he died.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just stories about his life. Like,
just like, oh, this is like my sled as a kid. I had a purple green sled that I loved to ride.
Way to just throw the spoiler out there right away.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, guys. Okay. Spoiler warning for those. It's still a new release. So spoiler warning.
Yeah, sure. Sorry. Just came out.
Citizen Kane.
Oh, yeah, go see it. Go check it out in your theaters right now.
Oh, they should do a Harvey Dent origin movie, but it's just the sequel to the first Joker movie.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. All these are going to be in the same canon, by the way. So,
okay, Catwoman, but it's done in the framework of Now You See Me.
Oh, God.
That actually would be pretty good. Like, get her with like, a crew of like... Get her and Cheetah and, like, some other, like, stealthy cat people.
And she puts together a little crew and does, like, the magical
Zatanna.
Heists and that big reveals stuff.
Yeah.
Zatanna
yeah.
would be the lead, actually, of that. And then, like, she would be the Jesse Eisenberg. Yeah, she's the Jesse Eisenberg.
She is. She's the Jesse Eisenberg. Well, Lex Luthor's the Jesse Eisenberg, but we know what we're saying.
True, yeah. I'm gonna just make one off the top of my head. It's gonna be Gone Girl, and it's gonna be with. I'll just stick with Cheetah, and she's married just to, we'll say, Ares from Wonder Woman. Just gonna get some more Wonder Woman love in there.
There you go.
Perfect. So, 10 out of 10.
It's Fight Club, but with Killer Joker. Croc.
Okay, and he's crazy. He's the one that's
crazy, and they call him the Killer Croc.
And there's three rules this time though. But you have to watch.
Oh well, you know what? I should have known this right off the bat. The Phantom of the Opera, but it's Clayface.
Oh yeah,
that would be great. That'd be so good.
Pretty obvious one. Yeah.
Great origin. Yeah.
Like in a good way.
Hmm. Yeah. Honestly, again, hard to think of others that aren't Batman villains.
Right. If it's all Batman villains, it's
okay. Good.
Joker centric. Penguin. We got a Penguin show. It's The Sopranos. Riddler.
Yeah, the last one I would love to see actually is the Fritz Lang movie M. But it's like honestly, you could just probably substitute Peter Lorre with like any Batman like slasher guy or villain.
Yeah. The Riddler TV show, but it's Dexter.
Ooh, I was gonna say Monk.
Nice. Yeah,
actually, that Monk. Well, they both are. They're both detective shows, actually. Yeah, because at one point, I think Riddler does become a detective.
Really?
I think he works for. Doesn't he work for GCPD at one point? And Batman's like, "Fuck this."
In some, yeah. Gosp- I think in Gotham, he does like the show. I'm sure in the comics too. I don't know.
I think in the comics, yeah.
Bane.
Those are some good ones. Honestly, we got a whole season.
Was it Bane? But it's or Mr. Bane.
Network. Mr. Bane. There we go.
Oh, for my week, like, I tried the Mr. Beast burger.
You did? How was that?
I did also.
Terrible. I heard it's terrible. It's a terrible experience. I heard
they're awful. I ordered and they fucked my meal up. They forgot my fries. Well, I guess it's not really fucking it up, but they forgot my fries. And
it's instead, still fucking it up.
Yeah, that's true. And they did include a Beast Burger in its place, so I gave that to Dala, so he got to try it. Who was hungry, so it was very serendipitous.
It was hungry.
When you think about it.
And tastes like ass, right?
It tasted like nothing. It was just a
burger.
Food.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And
it's so funny because you got it. You were so excited to like pull it out.
Yeah, and, like, you peeked in. Check it out.
Because you thought I'll let you.
I thought it was gonna be in the Mr. Beast packaging because it's advertised that way, you know. But it's just wrapped in foil.
Yeah, very seldomly is it actually in the packaging because most of the ghost kitchens that have it just they don't give a shit.
They're not gonna. Yeah.
So 2 out of 10, Mr. Beast, you're on my list.
He has no quality control. Have you guys seen the videos? Have you seen the videos of people criticizing his products in front of him while doing an interview? And he just goes stone cold on them. It's so fucking funny. Like literally, he's doing one with Tommy in it, a streamer, and he like eats the burger. And he's like, "Oh yeah, this is pretty good. It's pretty, you know, solid 6.5 out of 10." And like literally, like not even joking, deadpan like turns to him like, "What? What do you mean? No, this is great. This is the best burger I've ever had in my life. I don't know. You're wrong. It's a 10. It's a 10.
Damn, to have a like, Brit.
Seriously?
Say that to you?
Yeah. That's seriously?
Crazy. Ooh, like, I got.
He calls people out for giving him low ratings right to their faces on the spot.
Yeah.
He's like, no, it's a 10. Say it's a 10.
Oh, my God.
10.
I need to see a compilation like, of this.
Hell yeah.
It's so funny. Like, he did it also with his Lunchlees. Lunchlee.
Whatever
the Lunchable literal ripoff, where people were interviewing it. And, oh no, sorry, that one was Logan Paul. Sorry, Lunchly was Logan Paul, but they did the same thing. Everybody on Logan Paul's team also did that where someone said it was shitty and they were just like, What?
how dare you?
Oh, why would you say that?
I've never released a shitty product in my life.
Right, I have one more movie actually.
Let me peddle garbage.
One last movie. It's the Joker movie, but it's Mr. Beast.
Ooh, okay.
And he's I'd watch it.
He's making burgers and shit.
As long as it's a musical, I'd watch it.
He's flipping beans.
A jukebox musical, right?
Yeah, a jukebox.
All right, guys. You got any plugs?
Yeah, follow me, Gym Leader Nate, on everything if you feel like it. Or don't, if you don't want to. I don't know. I'm not your mom.
Yeah, you're not my mom. Nice. Or my dad, because it's me, Gibbledang, here. And
no, I am your dad.
That's yeah, go ahead and follow me at Gibbledang. And follow No Dumb Idea. And the Tower of the Fool. Thank you for making this cool new spooky intro and outro.
Hear it right now. And put it right now. For the new intro. Just kidding. No, yeah, super good. Yeah, and I'm Dolly. You can catch me at dadala.art on Instagram. This whole month, I've been doing spooky movie recommendations. I think whatever, you know, there's Weird Wednesday and Thriller Thursday and Funny Friday, as well as Psychological Saturday. And thanks to Gibbledang, I got Sunday. Vampire Sunday.
Oh, just Sunday. Go check it out. Third and Sunday.
Yes,
hiding from the Sunday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you want to hide from the sun, check out those movie recs. And yeah, just gonna follow. You know, again, follow No Dumb Idea on YouTube, Spotify, anywhere you catch podcasts.
Wait, was there Monday and Tuesday in there?
Oh yeah. They're like whenever I want to recommend. Honestly, I didn't want to give out themes every day.
That's free for. That's free for.
Yeah.
Okay.
Except for Monkey weekend. Mondays, it's in like which every single one has to do with a monkey.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah,
there's a lot.
Mid Mondays and terrible Tuesdays.
You know, shout out to Mid Monday. Why don't we give a shout out to Mid Monday?
Give a shout out.
Shout out to Mid Monday.
Shout out to was it Gary Puddles.
Shout out to Chicago, the movie.
Gary Puddles,
If you liked the idea of court-related musicals, go watch that instead.
They make fun of Gary Puddle's name in the movie.
That's fucked up. That's like the one good part. Well, double shout-out to Gary Puddles, then.
Shout-out to the guards.
No.
No shouting out.
Sorry.
That's enough.
You can cut that.
Shout-out Bane.
Boston Baked Bane. Who made that joke?
Shout out, There Will Be Luther.
Lutherdick and Kane.
Shout out, Kevin James.
Yeah, honestly, actual shout out to Kevin James.
All right.
Thank you for listening to No Dumb Idea.